Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We're in the midst of a series of really helpful, inspiring series of conversations on Open House about parenting families in the lead up to the World Congress of Families from May 15 to 18. Tonight, golden advice on being a culture-wise family, knowing what to do about the onslaught of TV programs and movies, to say nothing of social media, we see today. Is there anything we can do about the saturation of so-called entertainment that, in the words of my next guest, is frequently extolling toxic values that are not your own? Ted Baer is a veteran Hollywood insider, a critic, pundit and educator. He's the founder and publisher of the hugely influential Movie Guide. He's chairman of the Christian Film and Television Commission and was president of the production company that gave the world the TV version of The Chronicles of Narnia. He's one of the keynote speakers at the World Congress of Families. Ted Baer, welcome to Open House.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Lee.
Thanks very much, Ted, for your time. Your thoughts on this have been developed, of course, both through your extensive professional experience, but also a wide range of interviews with experts. Tell us how you've observed this entertainment industry changing over the decades that you've been involved in it, Ted.
I grew up in the entertainment industry. My parents were stars. My father was a cowboy star in the 30s, and he won the box office award in America and Hollywood in 1936. He was the first Hollywood Texas Ranger. My mother was a star. So I grew up on the non-faith side of the equation, sort of dabbling in all the worldly aspects of life. And I came to faith when I was 28 after financing five feature films. And then to put myself through seminary, I became head of a university film department, City University of New York, where we got 60 professors together. I felt so convicted by the movies I had funded that I decided to get these professors together, and we developed the first media literacy course. So since then, we've been perfecting media literacy to help parents help their children learn how to be media literate. And we've been influencing the entertainment industry, first through The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe on CBS television, but then through working behind the scenes and showing people how they can make more money at the box office by reaching out to people of faith and values. In the United States, people in faith and values are a tremendous audience. We've got about 310 million Americans, and about 149 million go to church every week, and about 17 million Hispanics. My wife is from Argentina. So you've got, that's the biggest audience grouping, is the faith grouping. So movies with faith and values, even movies like Pirates of the Caribbean 4, do better at the box office. Showing Hollywood this, we've gotten them to go from one movie with positive faith and values in 85 to 57%. So Hollywood is taking notice.
And yet, so much of it's also, as you say, extolling toxic values. It's changed so much. It's continuing to change. Why do you think it's changed as it has?
Well, that's a great question. You know, Hollywood is a very diverse community. You've got the six major studios that produce about 40% of the films that are released, and they want to get as broad an audience as possible. So if you look at a list of the performance of the films, you see the companies that perform really well are companies like Pixar. It's way out front of the other companies. And then you've got Marvel. And, of course, if you look at Iron Man 3, which is opening up this weekend in the United States, but it's already opened in China, et cetera, it talks about heaven and hell. It talks about salvation. It has a confession scene. So it's got those, it's laced with values. 60% of the films are made by independents. And for many years, the independents were usually the people who were making movies either because they were just playing at it or they had an agenda. And the agenda was often nefarious. Often they were people like, and I don't mind him as a person, he's a great actor, Sean Penn, or Oliver Stone making movies extolling Fidel Castro or Hugo Chavez. So that is the good news in that area. And it's always worthwhile to point out the good news, because anybody can do this, is that there are more and more people of Christian faith who are making movies that are doing better at the box office. My radio engineer many years ago was a guy who made a movie called Facing the Giants and then Fireproof, And Fireproof did $175 million by the time it was finished with everything. And that caused the companies in Hollywood to take notice. But so that you've got a little church in Georgia making a movie that earned $175
million. Yes. We spoke with him at the time. Ted, with satellite and digital technology, the entertainment industry, for good or ill, has such a reach now. This is no longer purely a Western world phenomenon in wealthier nations. It reaches literally everywhere.
It is. And of course, the biggest box office today, maybe not of course for your listeners, is China. Iron Man just smashed all records in China. There's a downside and a positive side to all this. I'll go to the downside first. If you look at a study that came out of Boston University, most of the world has a very negative view of the United States of America. The reason is they think that America is highly criminals. They think it's extremely violent, extremely immoral. And when you ask them where they get that point of view from, it's not that the people who have these opinions know Americans who go to church every week. In fact, in the Boston University study, which covered almost every country in the world, 90% of the people had never met an American, but they got their opinion from movies which had a distorted view that tended toward sex and violence. Now, I told you there was a positive side, too. The positive side is that China is excluding a lot of sex and violence. They want more family-oriented, and they're funding more films. The Muslims, although you may have some Sheikh going to Sydney to watch debate stuff, most of them do not let their billions of people watch it. So you've got about two-thirds of the world that does not participate in the race to the bottom of morality, which they do in places like Denmark and Germany, et cetera.
And you do think that that is changing?
It is changing in this sense. It's bringing pressure on Hollywood, because Hollywood is an international commodity. American movies have to sell overseas. So every day this week, there have been articles about Iron Man opening up with saying what was edited out of it, how it was changed, how they added something to appeal to the Chinese. I mean, you have these movies that Quentin Tarantino, who did arguably the most violent movie of all time, Django, and when the censors saw it in China, they saw it for about 3 minutes, and then they shut the movie down, and they weren't allowed to open it. So Hollywood says, if I'm going to make a movie and I'm going to spend the average Hollywood movie, $104 million, and I'm not going to be able to open it in some of the biggest box offices, India and China and the Middle East, then I might be counterproductive.
It's interesting that those developing nations are forcing the West to change tack so radically.
It is interesting, and of course, it's heartbreaking at the same time that the West is supposed to be a reminiscent of a Christian culture, civilization, and that was supposed to be marked by the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, yes, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control in Philippians 4:8, to look upon what's good and true and what's beautiful. And all of those things were the mark of Western civilization during the 1900s and 1800s, and now we've seen all of that removed. But the people in those countries, and this was one of the consequences of the Boston University study, which we've excerpted on movieguide.org, people in those countries look upon us as, you know, the short quote is the great Satan, but they look upon us as Christianity as being the harbinger of sex, violence, nudity, and profanity.
How ironic. Ted, for families, and as I said, the culture-wise family, I'd love you to take us through what you call the five pillars of media wisdom you recommend to families. First one is understanding the influence of the media on a family.
Well, this is very important because the media is so prominent in America that people do not understand its influence. There have been 500,000 studies, according to the congressional offices, according to Senator Lieberman, that have 99% of them talk about the negative influence of the media. They talk about 7 to 11% of the boys want to copy the violence, 25% of the kids want to copy the alcohol use or drug use, 31% want to copy the sexual mores. But we should know all this without all these studies. I mean, the fact of the matter is that people sell products on TV and radio and even in movies. So, you know, people would not pay $3 million for a short 30-second ad on the Super Bowl if they didn't think it was going to sell their Ford car.
Your second point is to ascertain your children's susceptibility at each stage of their development. How does that work out?
Well, children pick up their scripts of behavior by watching. 100 years ago, let's say in the outback, the way they picked up their scripts of behavior is by watching their father and mother on the ranch, the sheep, and whatever else was going on around them. Today, in the United States at least, I don't know about Australia, by the time a child is 17, they spend 60,000 hours with the mass media. They spend about 11,000 hours in school. If they go to school every single day, they're supposed to be there. About 2,000 hours with parents who are working hard to sustain them, and about 800 hours in church. So the primary scripts of behavior they get are from their primary influence. And when I'm talking about it, I show clips of people such as the American vice president saying he changed his views on a very important social issue just by watching a TV program. So that becomes the scripts of behavior. When children are in the imagination stage, from 3 to 7, they're extremely vulnerable to getting their scripts of behavior. And I'm going to movies. You know, we review 100% of the movies that open in a few theaters or more. So we review almost every movie. And we will see a terrible horror movie, and it'll have, you know, some parent will have brought in their 2 or 3 year old child thinking the child is not getting anything out of it. But there's a lot of research, there's a lot of how the movies and television affect children at different stages of their growth, and it's very biblical too. So it's important to be careful about what they see at each stage of development so that they aren't affected negatively by those scripts of behavior.
One of the other things you do, which I think is really helpful, your third pillar is to teach your children how the media communicates its message. How do you say that happens, Ted?
Well, in the United States, we'll have commercials for, let's say, arthritis medicine. And he'll show some guy who's in his late 60s, 70s, who can hardly get up. Might be me, but anyway. And so they say, if you take this pill, and then you see him getting up and dancing with his wife, and the sun is shining, and the beaches are beautiful, and the band is playing, and everything looks idyllic. So the visual is this tremendous selling point that if you take this arthritis drug, you will do very, very well. Underneath it, they have a little script, a little subtitle saying, if this causes kidney failure, if this causes heart failure, if your mind starts getting seizures, if you're lying on the floor, you know, very upset, call your doctor. Now, that written part on that commercial is just as important, if not more so, than the visual. But the visual dominates in the media. So when people are reviewing movies or entertainment, and they said, well, this line of dialogue said we shouldn't do this. But then it shows them doing it in Hangover 2 or 3, and they're having fun beating, killing, maiming, mutilating. The visual image dominates.
And therefore, kids need to learn how to ask the right questions, you say. It's media literacy.
That's right. They have to understand what are their values, which is the fourth point. They have to understand, well, my values are not to hurt other people, not to be to be kind and loving and thoughtful and generous, all those things the Bible calls us to. And then to ask the question, who is the hero? Is the hero like the hero in a movie that just opened recently, a scary movie who maims and mutilates? Or is the movie like a hero in 42, a baseball player named Jackie Robinson who broke the color barrier by being willing to turn the other cheek and really manifesting the love of God and talking about Jesus in doing that. So it's important to know your values and then to unpack. Now, I've given you one question. There are about 122 questions, and we could go on a long time about this. But if you take one little exercise a day, you can help your children to just start asking the right questions, talking back to the TV or the movies, and starting to think for themselves so that they develop the standards that you want them to have to stand against the tidal wave of disinformation.
And you have three words that guide these questions that kids need to ask and parents need to guide. The words are ascertainment, discernment, and reflection. Can you briefly explain that process, what you mean by that?
Ascertainment, discernment, and reflection are pretty big words for this. Ascertainment just means to figure out what the facts are. In other words, to describe the hero. Does the hero solve the plot problem by beating people up or by saving people? And then discernment is, well, how do we look at that? Are we discerning that that's good or that's bad, what the hero is doing? And reflection says, take our biblical values and compare them to the values that the hero is exhibiting. And some heroes have tremendously positive values, and some of them have tremendously negative values.
It's important to say that you don't think all is lost. So you're probably more optimistic?
I'm very optimistic. We have an awards gala, like an Academy Awards. It goes on the Hallmark Movie Channel. We give out a $100,000 prize for movies with Christian content, television with Christian content, $50,000 prize for scripts, $50,000 prize for free market. And we see people changing. We have a lot of stories, like the head of United Artists saying everybody wants to win a prize, or the Stan Lee, who does the Marvel movies, who said he wanted to win the Epiphany Prize, because in Spider-Man 1, they had the Lord's Prayer. Aunt May says the Lord's Prayer when she's in the hospital. And that slows down a movie. So he said, I'm going to win it next year. So the next movie, he had two Lord's Prayer and I think a Hail Mary and something else. And I said, Stan, it's got to be more than just superficial.
Yes.
But actually, if you go to Iron Man 3, you see that it is more than superficial. And we had Disney talk about the fact they put a missionary in Pirates 4, and they made the whole theme around eternal life and salvation. So they're getting it, and we see people who are changing and getting faith and coming to Christ. So we see a lot of, and we see new people making movies and entertainment, but you know, it's almost a day late and a long time short. We should have been doing this 50 years ago. So, I'm sort of like Paul Revere trying to say, this is it. You can do it. You can make great radio, which is what you're doing. We need you desperately. You can make great movies. You can make great television. And for a long time, people in the United States said, well, we don't want to go to Hollywood. And my word to that is, we need more Christians in Hollywood, but less Hollywood in the Christian.
Ted, I'm so glad that we've been able to tap into your wisdom, and much more wisdom no doubt to come at the World Congress of Families in Sydney from the 15th to the 18th of May. Ted Baer, thank you so much indeed for speaking with us on Open House.
It's been great. You are absolutely wonderful. Brilliant questions. So let's do it again sometime.
Good on you. See you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.